Insightful podcasts by informative hosts. Insights into Things, a podcast network.
Welcome to Insights into Entertainment, a podcast series taking a deeper look into entertainment and media. Your hosts, Joseph and Michelle Whalen, a husband and wife team of pop culture fanatics, are exploring all things from music and movies to television and fandom.
Welcome to Insights into Entertainment. This is episode 33. Conflicts and Letdowns. I'm your host, Joseph Whalen, and my talented and brilliant co-host, Michelle Whalen.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing today, sweetie?
Good. I'm trying to multitask and
Yeah, so am I. I'm down here trying to reach to shut this fan off because it's making too much noise and I'm bumping
and
into the mic.
I was copying the link for our Twitch users onto Facebook, so anybody that's a Facebook user can click on Twitch and watch us live as opposed to waiting till we post it on YouTube and just...
Oh, so they're getting the raw, uncut version of the show live on Twitch.
Right, I don't know now if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We might want to rethink
this. This is also why your daughter was so conscientious about making sure she had her hair done and got dressed.
Oh, okay.
You know, appropriately, because I think we were live.
So. Oh, gotcha. Okay,
the pressures of stardom.
Yeah, well, I guess.
So today is Conflicts and Letdowns, episode 33. We have a feel-good story here from Disney and our Disney detective regarding a young man who was very charitable for the folks in the Bahamas who suffer from Dorian. Not our cat, by the way, the hurricane. We have a response from James Cameron on Avatar being dethroned. Then we have some of the biggest letdowns from the D23 Expo. Because, you know, it's just not one of our shows if I'm not bashing Disney.
And that's kind of what I look for these days. I look for, you know, from me, it's the feel-good stories. And for you, it's something...
Balance. It's all about balance.
The yin and the yang.
Then we're going to talk about Bob Iger stepping down from the board of Apple. And then in our entertainment news, we will talk about the passing of what had to have been probably the worst thought out service of MoviePass. I'm not sure how they ever expected to turn a profit with what they were doing, but we'll talk about that. Then Felicity Huffman is sentenced in her college admissions scam issues. And then we talk about the unfortunate passing of Mr. Money. So we shall talk about all those things and our insightful picks of the week starting now. Go for Disney Detective.
So we'll start off with our feel-good story. So there was a boy who actually is from the Jacksonville, Florida area. And he had been saving up money to go to Disney for his 7th birthday. And when the hurricane hit, he decided to use all of his money that he had to buy hot dogs and chips and drinks and actually set up a little stand and was giving them away free to anybody that needed food that was hit from the hurricane. So that story had played out. And actually he had been staying with his grandmother in South Carolina when he was doing this thing for people that were leaving from the Florida area or people that were hit, with the hurricane, you know, in South Carolina as well. Well, the really nice thing was that Disney heard about this and decided to surprise him. So they actually were doing a story about him on Good Morning America, and they were, you know, doing the interview inside his house, and then they had him go outside, and not only were there a whole bunch of Disney cast members, but Mickey Mouse was there as well.
That's
to
cool.
tell him, we're giving you, you know, a vacation to Walt Disney World to use, you know, later this month, because, you know, you were so generous and, you know, giving. And what was really sweet was he said, you know, when they interviewed him and said, you know, what can you tell others? And he said, be strong. And if you do good things, you'll be rewarded.
Nice.
So that was really a sweet thing to see. So,
no, and that's a good life lesson to see there, that, you know, when you do good things, you know, there is a reward that's out mm-hmm. there for you. But
yeah.
But it's one of those things where, like, he didn't expect that. He didn't anticipate that.
No, he wasn't doing it to get it.
Right. He did it out of the kindness of his heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think if there's a little bit more of that in this world, we'll have a much nicer world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell us about James Cameron.
So James Cameron made his first comment since Avengers Endgame stomped on his 21-year-long reign atop the list of highest-grossing films in history. Cameron first held the title after his success of Titanic in 1997, and then obviously he topped his own record in 2009 with Avatar, which ranked $2.79 billion. So in May, the Russo brothers' movie, Avengers, obviously edged out Titanic for the second place spot, earning $2.2 billion at that point. And then, as we've talked about, they decided to re-release it in July, basically to kind of...
Just to get over the top, yeah.
Because, and obviously then, it surpassed Avatar. So now, the second and third place director, who's been known for his cocky attitude, you know, is speaking out about losing his box office crown. However, he said, though, you know, even though he, you know, he's always been, I'm king of the world type thing, he actually said that it gives him a lot of hope. He said that Endgame actually demonstrated proof that people still go to the movies.
Yeah, that's true.
So that really, it was more of a positive thing. He's actually working, obviously, on the next two Avatar movies back to back. He's filming in New Zealand, and he's actually, you know, he was actually very enthusiastic, you know, because Endgame, you know, kind of gave him that, okay, we're ready for the next big thing. He says that, you know, the thing that had scared him most about making Avatar 2 and Avatar 3 was that he didn't know if people were really going to be excited about sitting in a dark theater anymore with a bunch of strangers watching a movie. But now seeing how much, you know, people went to go see Endgame, he's like, all right, maybe all things are possible now. So Avatar is set to actually not hit theaters until 2021, but obviously Terminator, The Dark Fate, which he is producing, comes out actually in November.
So he was a pretty good sport about it.
Yeah, but he was really a good sport. And I guess a lot of people were expecting him to kind of be, oh, well, you know, look, they cheated or whatever, but...
Well, and you know, the thing is true competitors,
mm-hmm.
which he obviously is, are driven by competition.
Mm-hmm.
So having being unseated...
Right.
You know, once you achieve the top goal...
Right.
Which, you know... He did once
right.
with Titanic.
Right.
Then he did again with Avatar.
Right, right.
What's the drive to continue producing things that would meet that goal?
Right.
If you don't have someone that's knocking on the
right.
door.
Right, exactly,
you know?
Because he was number one and number two for so long
right.
and nobody could top him. I'm interested to see how Avatar's really going to do. I personally, it was a nice film. Was I as gung-ho... You know, I didn't see the appeal that people that went and saw it,
yeah,
you know.
It was, to me, it was a decent sci-fi film. It wasn't a saga. It didn't warrant the fanaticism. It certainly
right.
didn't warrant a section in the Disney park.
Right, right. Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, will the Disney park help to bring Avatar 2, you know, like, more people to the movie. But the thing is, like, the first movie wasn't, quote-unquote, a kid's movie.
Right.
But yet you have this, you know, land in a Disney park that kids now know of these characters. But is that, you know, what's the next movie? Is it going to be more of, like, what the first one was? Because, you know, well, kids aren't going to go see it.
And the first one kind of didn't leave room for a sequel either.
Right.
But you know what? The one thing I take away from this story is ultimately it's the fans that benefit. Because, you know, love his movies or not, James Cameron makes very good movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if this being unseated from the number one spot inspires him to go out and make more very good movies, then it's the fans that benefit from it.
That is true. Very true. So, we shall see.
We shall. So, biggest letdowns from D23.
So, obviously, there was a lot that came out that, you know, we've covered, you know, a couple of different times about D23, the expo that happened last month in California. And this was kind of an interesting article because there was so much speculation as to, you know, rumors of, oh, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? And this was an interesting little article on allears.net that kind of put everything, you know, together in one spot. So one of the things that people had been, you know, teasing about or rumors were flying around was that in World Showcase in Epcot, that a new country was going to be showing up. And obviously, that's not happening. I guess for years there had been rumors of Brazil coming or other countries coming in.
They need Atlantis.
Right, they need Atlantis. And obviously, Epcot is getting such a major overhaul. It's really going to be a completely different park. They've already started, you know, construction on a lot of it. So while obviously all of that good stuff is coming in, people were very surprised again that, you know, these other couple of things that people had been hearing about, nothing was brought up. So obviously Brazil being one of them. Then there was also talk that maybe in Mexico there was going to be some sort of Coco attraction, you know, coming in. And they do have stuff about the movie, in there.
Do they have any kind of character meet and greets for Coco or anything?
I think they do. I did see a picture somewhere, so I don't know if it's, you know, something that they switched over or if it's, you know, like a permanent thing or if it was temporary.
So was the thought here that they were going to redo, because they have the Three Amigos ride there.
Right, right. So I guess people were thinking, oh, well, let's get rid of the Three Amigos. But my whole thought is every time you have a new movie come out, you can't redo, you know, a ride just because you had, you know, this one movie come out.
Right.
And I guess that's kind of, you know, like, okay, when they changed Frozen, you know, and they changed you know, that they brought that ride in. It was kind of like, did you have to? Because Epcot, and I guess, you know, for me, Epcot was always kind of a non-character. You know, it was kind of more of a generic area. It was more about the countries and the culture, not molding it to characters. But now you have, you know, Moana coming in. You know, so it seems like the trend is obviously to capitalize more on bringing the characters in.
Sells.
Well, and that's obviously, you know, what happens. So to, you know, for people to be like, well, Coco's not coming. It's like, well, but you have all these other things. You know, so does every country have to have a character? And it almost seems like that's what, you know, some people were hoping for.
Right.
The other thing that people were very surprised about was that there were no new experiences really for Magic Kingdom or Animal Kingdom. Now, the Tron light cycle ride is under construction, but that was announced at last year's expo. So pretty much it kind of seems
but
like,
I mean, Magic Kingdom just had a huge,
well, and that's the, and you know, that's
redo.
What I was going to say was that, okay, Magic Kingdom is still under construction in some areas, from stuff, you know, from previous years that, you know, they're still finishing up. And again, they did the whole expansion of Fantasyland not that long ago. You know, but they were kind of, you know, in this article, they were making a joke of, well, you know, they got rid of Stitch's Great Escape. So now you have that whole area that, you know, they basically opened it up as a character meet and greet, where you have this whole, okay, there's always been a ride there. Are you going to put something there? But I'm sure there's something that, you know, fans know about.
I'm sick and tired of going to Magic Kingdom and having two-thirds of the park shut down for construction.
Right, right.
You know, I'm paying full price to get into a park mm-hmm. that I don't have a full right. park for. So
no,
I'm perfectly fine if they decide not to do any more construction in these parks.
Yes, dear. And the other thing was that there's still been no talk of a nighttime parade. The Main Street Electrical Parade left. They haven't had a nighttime parade. They just have the nighttime fireworks. And I guess when you used to have a nighttime parade, that would actually kind of help to get some of the guests.
Crowd regulation.
Right. You know, as soon as people saw that, okay, we'll leave. We don't need to stay for the fireworks, where now all you have is the fireworks.
Well, not just that. It also got people away from the rides, and it helped the manager. Your ride lines, too.
Right, right. So, you know, there was no talk about that. But again, I'm sure there's something, you know, that's in the works that, you know, we just don't know about. But again, it was an interesting, you know, little article, you know, to kind of throw in. So,
you know, all in all, I don't think, aside from the lack of a new World Showcase Pavilion,
mm-hmm.
I don't think any of these things were huge letdowns. It would have been nice to see a new
right.
World Showcase.
And that's the thing, is that I think, you know, there was so much more that came out, you know, with everything else, that there's definitely something for everybody,
yeah.
you know, with what's coming. So
and like you said, what they're doing at Epcot, I mean, it's an extensive remake of
Epcot
my
God.
To begin with.
Yeah,
to
it's
add
not
more
gonna,
complexity to that probably is not a
It's not going to look like anything, you know, if you've ever been to Epcot before, it's going to look completely different. The theming is going to be different, you know, the physicalness of it, you know, where there once was a big giant fountain is now going to be, you know, a grassy knoll and things like that. So
I can't help but think Kennedy when you say grassy knoll. That really shouldn't be associated with Disney though.
Okay.
Anyway, so my friend and yours, Mr. Overpaid Bob Iger.
Your most favorite person in the world. See, I had to throw this in. Normally, we just stick to like three stories. I saw this one yesterday, and I was like, you know what? I got to throw this in. So this one's really just for you.
I appreciate that.
So Walt Disney chairman and CEO, our favorite Bob Iger, has now stepped down from Apple's board of directors. The iPhone maker announced in the SEC filing on Friday afternoon that as of the 10th, he will no longer be a member of the board. He had said that it had been an extraordinary privilege to have served on the Apple board for 8 years, and I have the utmost respect for Tim Cook and his team at Apple and my fellow board members. Apple is one of the most the world's most admired companies, known for the quality and integrity of its products and its people, and I am forever grateful to have served as a member of the company's board. He actually had started serving in 2011, and it was actually very instrumental in acquiring Pixar from the late Apple CEO Steve Jobs in 2006. And also it resulted in Jobs joining Disney's board of directors at that time. So the two companies have obviously been, you know, intertwined for a while. But because Disney is set to launch Disney Plus, and Apple is joining Apple TV, or Apple is launching Apple TV Plus, now they're going to be competitors. So he kind of figured, let me step back. And
you know,
you know,
interesting takeaway that I get from this, there was a lot of speculation about Disney possibly partnering with Apple
mm-hmm.
on their two launches and bundling them together.
Okay.
Because Apple literally has no back
right,
catalog,
I was gonna say,
catalog to launch with.
Right, right.
So Apple is launching with a small handful of original programming
right.
that they're doing and nothing else.
Right.
And based on the keynote at the iPhone event this past week,
mm-hmm.
Apple almost smells desperate for adoption. So they're giving away a month of it for free,
which
everyone expected.
Okay.
They're charging $6 a month as opposed to the $9 a month that was originally speculated.
Oh, okay.
So they're keeping it competitive with Disney pricing.
Okay.
And the real kicker here is if you buy a new Apple product, iPhone, iPad, MacBook, whatever, they're giving you a year's worth of Apple TV Plus.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they are desperate to get adoption.
Okay.
And I just don't think they're going to put up a competitive product compared to, I mean, Disney's launching as many or more original programming than Apple.
Right.
Plus, you've got the entire Disney back catalog, mm-hmm. including Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, Disney, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the same price.
Right. And we even, you know, we're both Disney Visa cardholder members. We even got in the mail.
The discount.
There was a discount. Not only, so we had talked last week about the 3-year discount. Now they were even offering a 2-year subscription deal. So it kind of almost sounded that same thing of not a lot of people were signing up for the 3 years. Let's sign up for something, you know, for the 2-year as well. So, you know, I think they're also, you know, they're probably not as worried as obviously Apple, you know, is if you're saying that they're doing, you know, all of this giveaway stuff.
Yeah. And Apple really is not even providing a compelling reason to subscribe to their stuff, except for maybe 3 shows that
I was gonna say, I think there was one show that, you know, I saw that was like, oh, that looks interesting, that's gonna be on Apple TV Plus, and that was it. That was the one show.
Yeah, and it's basically they signed up a couple of big name people,
including
Oprah and Spielberg, Jennifer Aniston, and a few big names, and they're banking on celebrity names to draw people to a service that has no content whatsoever.
At least with Disney Plus, we know that they're, you know, they've been very forthcoming with, you know, everything that they're gonna have to offer, and you know,
well, I mean, just
sweetening the pot.
Even
obviously,
their original programming will grab people like you and I with the Marvel and the Star Wars selections that they have, and a lot of the listeners of the podcast too.
Yeah, yeah.
But Disney's not offering anything, and this tells me...
You mean Apple.
I'm sorry, Apple. Apple is not offering anything, and this tells me that Disney is not even entertaining the thought of bundling with Apple at this point in time. So any hope they might have had there is gone.
Yeah. And the thing is, Apple Plus launches on November 1st, and really, like you said, besides one or two shows, you haven't heard anything about
it's kind of contrary to what they did with Apple News, where with news they became a central clearinghouse for all these other news services, whereas with Apple Plus they're partnering with no one, literally.
Right
They're going their own with no back catalog to even offer anyone. So anyway, so that's it for Disney Detective this
week. That is it for Disney.
All right, we will come back with entertainment news now that I fixed our lower third, so it's actually reading the right episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So tell us about MoviePass.
So honestly, I didn't even know MoviePass was still around. So that's how, you know, in the know I was. So on Friday, MoviePass notified the remaining subscribers that it would be shutting down the service effective September 14th because its efforts to recapitalize MoviePass had not been successful to date from the parent company. So the parent company basically said that they were still trying to find funding, you know, to fix the funding operations of it, but they were unable to predict if or when MoviePass would continue. So even with, you know, the demise of this, the service actually kind of spurred off other versions. So other theaters are actually doing their own version. So AMC actually had launched its Stubs A-List program, which let subscribers see 3 movies weekly for $19.95 a month, and they're up to 900,000 subscribers. So within, you know, the last year, MoviePass had been having some issues. They kind of were changing their membership of how much you could see. In August of 2018, their, you know, one movie a day was priced at $9.95 a month, but then that obviously wasn't economically, you know, sustainable, so they changed the plan, and then it became $9.95 for 3 movies a month, and then it changed to $14.95, and it just kept, you know, the plan just kept changing around, you know, so much that, you know, they just really weren't making, you know, any money. Plus, theaters weren't offering it as much as, you know, the theater's own branded, you know, version of it. So it kind of, you know, sounded like a good idea and just unfortunately couldn't last. So
see, this is a case of situations where you don't have to be, you know, a rocket scientist mm-hmm. in business to look at what your business plan is and know it's not going to work.
Right.
There are things that you look at, like, what was it, the frozen yogurt place. Mm-hmm. Another great example.
Right, yeah.
So you're charging, you know, X amount per ounce.
Right.
With all these other things on top of it that drives the price up, hoping that people aren't going to use those things. Mm-hmm. You know, when you looked at MoviePass's business model when they first launched, it was immediately unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you're reselling somebody else's services.
Mm-hmm.
And once they catch on to the fact that they can do this in bulk instead of charging individually and hoping people show up once a month, they're going to launch it themselves, which is exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And for the price that you're charging, there's no way you're going to be able to sustain that. You figure, what does it cost for a single person to get into a movie? Anywhere from $15 to, what, $20 at this point?
Yeah.
So how are you possibly going to partner with movie theaters? You're going to charge $10 a month
mm-hmm.
and allow them potentially to see 30 movies
right.
at $10 a month. How do you think?
Right, because you figure that person that's going doesn't have TV, doesn't have cable, whatever. This is their form of entertainment. You know, they either go before work or after work. And if they're paying $10 for the month, I'm guessing they're probably not buying popcorn, you know,
right.
either. They're not, you know,
right. so there's
silly
no
enough
upsell.
To spend another, you know, $30 on food. They're probably sneaking their food
yeah.
in. So really, you're making pennies, if that.
Right.
You
so
know,
you
at the end
can't
of it.
Even. Even if that person only goes to the movie once.
Right.
If the theater is charging $15, let's say it's even charging $10.
Okay.
All right. So let's be super conservative and say the movie theater is charging $10.
Mm-hmm.
You're charging that person $10. So they go and see one movie and your profit margin is lost immediately once
right.
they see one movie.
Right.
And what this model is they tried to implement a Netflix model.
Mm-hmm.
So with Netflix, when Netflix model was based on DVDs and not streaming,
mm-hmm.
Netflix based their model on the fact that you weren't going to return your DVDs quickly.
Right.
So they knew that if you rent it more than, I think the threshold was like 5 movies a month, they were going to lose money.
Okay.
So what Netflix did was they started putting essentially delays into the process.
Okay.
So if you would rent one movie and send it back the same day, then it might take an extra 2 days to get the next movie.
Okay.
And they would increase that delay time in processing so that you couldn't get more than 5 movies a month.
Okay.
And eventually when people caught on to that, Netflix had to change their pricing model to go with 1 movie a month, 2 movie a month type thing so that they weren't losing money.
Okay.
So they tried, MoviePass essentially tried to implement the same thing
mm-hmm.
at theaters. The problem was Netflix had the licensing rights to the movies that they were doing it with.
Okay.
Whereas MoviePass didn't. You were counting on partnering
with the theaters.
The theater chains.
Right.
And when the theater chains realized they weren't making money, but they could make money if they implemented their own model,
right.
they just knocked you out of business.
Right.
So this does not come as a surprise to me at all. If anything, I'm shocked that it lasted as long as it did.
Yeah. And like I said, I didn't even realize it was still even around because I knew of the individual programs at the theaters.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So, not that we go to the movies enough that this is going to affect us, but this is one of those, saw this one coming down the road, you know, kind of glad I didn't, you know, invest or get involved with the service. So the hammer drops for Felicity Huffman. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, this was a story we talked about months ago when everything broke with the whole scandal of, you know, the rich and famous, you know, paying, you know, for SAT scores for their kids to be able to get into better colleges. And finally, Felicity Huffman was sentenced on Friday to 14 days in prison for the crime of paying $15,000 to boost her daughter's SAT scores. The judge had also ordered her to serve 250 hours of community service after a year of probation and paying a fine of $30,000. The sentence actually came, you know, kind of as a surprise from... where they, you know, basically she was saying that, you know, her excuse was I was just trying to be a good mother. And, you know, the outrage in this case, you know, is a system that's, you know, basically distorted by money and privilege in the first place. And you, you know, and the judge said you took a step of having one more advantage to put your child ahead. Huffman is ordered to report to prison on October 25th. The prosecutor had argued that she should be sentenced to 1 month behind bars. A message must be sent, and imprisonment is the only way to send that message, said the assistant U.S. attorney, arguing that anything less would show that the rich get preferential treatment. In prison, everybody has to wear the same clothes. Prison is a great leveler. Huffman gave, you know, her tearful boo-hoo-hoo, you know, I was frightened, I was stupid, I was so wrong, I'm deeply ashamed of what I'd done. You know, her attorney, you know, asked for a sentence of 1 year of probation and community service, you know, and he basically said, you know, a sentence of probation is, you know, is real punishment. Huffman actually agreed to plead guilty in April. And she is one of 33 parents that are actually being swept up in the whole Operation Varsity Blues, which was actually a wide-ranging FBI investigation into cheating in elite colleges. She wrote a letter to the judge last week where she apologized, you know, and wanted to give an explanation. You know, she wanted to get her daughter into a good school to study acting because of her low test scores. Okay. You know, and she said, in my desperation to be a good mother, I talked myself into believing that all I was doing was giving my daughter a fair shot. Really, you know. The other thing is...
She was giving her a fair shot by cheating.
Yeah, you know, and if she was trying to get into school to study acting and her test scores were too low, then go to a different school.
Right.
Go to some other school. And I hate to tell you, most actors don't, you know, become, you know, great actors because of what school they went to. It's purely on talent. You could go to a horrible school. You know, most actors, you know, never went to school for acting. It's a raw talent that they have. So, you know, the biggest thing too that kind of, you know, ticked me off and was that, you know, there's a couple of memes going around where, okay, she got this 14 days where there's a mother who was homeless and was using her babysitter's address for her child to go to a school, and she got 5 years in prison for that. So here's a woman who could, you know, she could go to any college she wanted to. She, you know, sky's the limits. You know, if her mom has enough money to pay for SAT scores, even with bad SAT scores, you can still get into, you know, some sort of college. And she gets 14 days with a, you know, a slap on a wrist.
But. Yeah, I mean, clearly this the punishment here was a slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. And the crime itself, you know, what annoyed me was that the defense tried to portray this as a victimless crime. Like, mm-hmm. We weren't hurting anyone. We weren't stealing any money.
Right,
blah, blah, blah. Well, in reality, you've got kids who don't have the benefit of mm-hmm. having a celebrity mother with money.
Right.
Who work their asses off
right.
to get the grades to earn the right to go to those colleges.
Right.
Who were denied because of this.
Right, because of somebody's fake SAT scores that yep. might have beat somebody out by 5 points, and yet you have somebody who, you know, maybe has a single parent, works 3 jobs, and, you know, the kid themselves works multiple jobs to be able to, you know, to go to school, but, and they're the ones that,
you know, she is not the only one that's guilty here. No. I think the system itself needs mm-hmm. to be indicted, because a system that allows this right. type of wholesale selling of SAT scores and not forcing you to test into a college
mm-hmm.
is a complete mistake. Because at that point in time, what are you, a mercenary at that point?
Right, right.
You know, here I'm going to go to one site, do an SAT score, and now, assuming that's an accredited score,
mm-hmm.
I can now shop that around to all the other colleges.
Right.
You know, the colleges themselves need this, the college system itself needs to be more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly at this point in time lopsided mm-hmm. in that if someone can get away with this now, and 30 some parents obviously
right, right.
got caught in this case, mm-hmm. that tells me if 30 some parents got caught here,
How many more?
Hundreds or thousands more are doing this mm-hmm. every year around the country.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a system in place that allows it to happen.
Right, yeah.
So while, yes, take this person, make an example of them, fix the damn system.
Right, right. So she was obviously, you know, one of the ones that actually took the plea. The other actress, Lori
Loughlin,
hadn't pleaded any or hadn't taken a plea deal, so she's, you know, nothing's happened with her case yet. She's basically waiting to appear in court.
So. Right. So, and the thing is, she's facing much stiffer penalties, because when she decided not to take the plea, they lopped 3 or 4 other much more serious charges on top of her.
Right.
Where if she's convicted of those, she's looking for an extended period of time in jail, not just, you know, 14 days.
Yeah. So,
And I'm also curious to see, and they didn't announce this yet because it's up to the prison system. Where is she going to prison? What country club is she going to go sit at?
Of course, you know,
is it going to be the same country club that Martha Stewart spent time at?
Right.
And that's another problem. You know, the college system needs to be fixed, but so does the penal system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Sure does.
So let's talk a little bit about Mr. Money.
So, unfortunately, this was, you know, some sad news that came out yesterday morning, was that Eddie Money, the singer of, you know, 2 Tickets to Paradise and other various songs, passed away at the age of 70. He's known for being a singer-songwriter of Baby Hold On, 2 Tickets to Paradise, Shaken, Take Me Home Tonight, you know, soundtracks, you know, from the 80s. You know, he unfortunately passed away on Friday, the 13th. In a statement provided by his family, it reads, "The Money family regrets to announce that Eddie passed away peacefully early this morning. It is with heavy hearts that we say goodbye to our loving husband and father. We can't imagine our world without him. We are grateful that he will live on forever in through his music." He actually had revealed that he had stage 4 cancer, and there was actually a reality show that he started doing in April of 2018 and called Real Money, and it actually was following, you know, his health struggles and his treatments, you know, that he was going through at the time. So very, very sad.
It is. And you know, the one thing I wanted to mention here was he had a very down-to-earth, realistic view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was optimistic at one point. One article I read, he said, you know, cancer is not like it was in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. People survive it all the time. He says, but, you know, whether I survive this or not, it's up to God, and I'm going to live life like I've got one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to, you know, I'm going to take all the days that I can get out of it.
Mm, yeah.
So I think when he was diagnosed, he kind of knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And and he took the time with the show because he did the show with his kids.
Right.
And he took the time to better his relationship with his kids. And, you know, as a father, you couldn't ask for more than that with the time you have left.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a shame to see him go.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it for entertainment news.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we will come back with our insightful picks of the week.
Okay.
See, it helps when I turn the volume back up on the sound.
Does it?
You don't get a transition.
Then you go, there's something going on.
Something should be happening here. I don't hear anything.
We're like our blind cat Dorian. Meow? Meow? I think I hear something.
So, go for insightful picks, dear.
So, my insightful pick this week is not Netflix. It's not a movie. It's not a documentary. It's not a TV show. It's a musical group.
A musical group. Wow, that's new for you.
Well, I figure you did your little YouTube music person, so I'm going to do my little YouTube music person. So Postmodern Jukebox, who is also widely known as PMJ, is a rotating musical collective founded by arranger and pianist Scott Bradley in 2011. Postmodern Jukebox is known for reworking popular modern music into different vintage genres, especially from 20th century forms such as swing and jazz. Postmodern Jukebox has amassed 1.2 billion YouTube viewers and 4 million subscribers, which I happen to be one of them. Each week, Postmodern Jukebox releases a new video on YouTube, although originally they were mostly filmed in Scott's living room. Sets kind of became more elaborate over time. So the band has covered songs by Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, The White Stripes. And since their beginnings of a small group of friends making, music in his basement of, his house in Queens, New York, they've now been featured with at least 70 different performers and have actually toured on 6 different continents. From their website, Scott had posted, ever since I was a kid in middle school, I knew I was something of an old soul. While my friends listened to 90s pop hits, I would listen to old jazz and Motown records and spent hours upon hours attempting to figure out their inner workings on the piano. Listening to these recordings truly transported me. I appreciated the creativity, the skill, and above all, the natural talent that went into their creation. He started out as a jazz musician and, couldn't really get his niche. But then, again, started listening to modern songs and trying to figure out how he could make them a jazzy version. And it's really fascinating to just listen to certain songs and you're like, wait a second, I know this song. Why do I know this song? And it's because it's completely different. He does jazz, he does swing, the one song, he does it as a mariachi, it's just, the videos are fun. Because he'll have, the people dress in period clothing, as well. And, it's just, all around, I've, enjoy, every song, that they've put out. They've actually been to Philly a couple of times. I, haven't been able to see them. I'm sure it would be, a fun concert to see. So if you're a fan of, jazz or, old time music, but modern music, with a twist, definitely check them out. They're on Spotify. YouTube has a whole bunch of playlists. And it is Postmodern Jukebox.
Cool. Good pick.
Thank you.
So just to make sure that we're giving love to Netflix, my pick this week will be a Netflix pick.
That you didn't even want to watch, just saying.
And I'll get into that.
Okay.
Okay?
I'll be quiet.
So this was your suggestion. It's The Spy. So inspired by real-life events, The Spy is an espionage thriller set in the 1960s and based on the life of Eli Cohen, an Israeli clerk turned into Israeli's top Mossad spy in Syria, portrayed by Sacha Baron Cohen. Now, Cohen goes deep undercover inside Syria on a perilous years-long mission to spy for Mossad. And the reason I was not interested in seeing this is that I am not a fan in any way of anything to date that Sacha Baron Cohen has done. So it has been very difficult for me to watch this show because the show itself is well written and well produced, but I can't help but see him in these difficult James Bond style situations and picture Borat in a Speedo. It's difficult for me, even seeing this show as well done as it is,
to
see him in a role other than the ridiculous roles that he's carved out for himself so far.
Okay.
So that's why I had a problem initially watching this, because much like watching a Nicolas Cage movie and seeing Nicolas Cage play exactly the same character in every movie that he's in, it's difficult for me to see someone like Cohen do something and not see him in that iconic role that he created. However, that aside, the show is very well done.
Mm-hmm.
It is based on historical accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And what I always love about these, because this is set in the 60s, late 50s, early 60s, and the sets, the costumes, the cars, everything that you see, they go out of their way to convey that time period, and they do a fantastic job. So just from a historical standpoint, it's nice to see that snippet of history there.
Yeah.
It's not the best spy thriller I've ever seen. And again, it's based on historical accounts. It's not a historical account. So it's not a documentary.
Right.
So as a result, they wind up intertwining a little bit of drama and interpersonal relationships that, frankly, I think the historical accounts are interesting enough that you don't need to put that in.
Right.
So a lot of times it's a distraction.
Mm.
You know, one of the things that the show hinges on, and from what I understand, it will truly come to fruition at the end, because it's only a miniseries. It's six episodes.
Six episodes, yeah.
So it'll play itself out at the end more prominently, but it's this relationship between Cohen and his wife and the separation that they have and how they still flashback and they show you how she's conducting her life,
right.
He's conducting his, and they'll do these contrasts where, you know, she'll be sitting at the table, and the one activity that they focus around is bread and butter.
Right.
You know, which I thought creatively was interesting that they established that bread and butter is family time.
Right.
And they established that in episode one. So whenever you see the butter come out on the table there,
right,
then you kind of know what's set.
Mm-hmm.
And they take it a step further where she's in her apartment in Israel, he's in his condo or whatever in Syria, and the bread and butter comes out in both locations, and then you see the side by side.
Right.
So they do a great job of tying the two together for that aspect of the storyline.
Right, right.
And they show that, you know, these real life people that were intelligence agents weren't James Bond. They
right.
were people that had families, that had obligations, that had desires.
Right.
So they do a very good job of humanizing what movies typically do as these superhero figures. So it's very well done from that perspective. So, six-episode miniseries released on September 6th and is available for streaming now on Netflix, The Spy.
Good pick.
Thank you. And I think that will do it for us for today. Any afterthoughts?
No afterthoughts.
All right. We will be going to
RetroCon.
So we do have an afterthought.
I guess we kind of do have an afterthought. Unfortunately, if you're watching this on Monday, you've missed it.
But we're live now, so it's relevant.
But if you happen to be watching this live and you are in the Philadelphia area, RetroCon is a small little toy show.
Pop culture.
Convention that they do in the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks. So it's a little bit of a drive, but you know, they usually have some really good vendors. They have some celebrities, like
Gil Gerard is going to be there.
Yes.
If you don't, no one remembers Gil Gerard. He used to play Buck Rogers in the 1980s.
Yeah, I was going to say there's only like three or two celebrities that are there. There was a wrestler that was going to be there. Who was the wrestler?
I can't remember. But it's Gil Gerard.
Gil Gerard. Yeah, just to go see Gil Gerard, and you know, and it's kind of small. It's a smallish venue, so you can definitely do it in, you know, a couple of hours. So it's today and tomorrow. We'll be going obviously tomorrow to see. So we'll probably have pictures and
we'll
stuff
have a
for
recap for it next week
for
I'm sure.
for next week. So
I'll put a little segment together with pictures. So, but that's it.
That's it.
Just a reminder, you can get us on our website at www.insightsintothings.com. You can get the audio podcast at podcast.insightsintoentertainment.com. You can get us on YouTube, the video of the show at youtube.com/insightsintothings. And you can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightsintothingspodcast. You can email us at comments@insightsintothings.com.
Send an owl or a carrier pigeon. We'll get that too.
We accept carrier pigeons, yes. and you can get us on Twitter at insights_things. I think that's everything, right? Am I missing anything?
I think that's everything. I hope.
Well, that's all the social media that I can tolerate. And that's it. We are out. We'll see you guys next week.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.